Father, for the weight of your glory in this place. We thank you, Lord, for your presence among us. We thank you for how you started with us this morning. Father, we just give you glory and we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Lord, your word says you are the glory and the lifter up of our heads. Lord, we speak concerning every downcast condition. And we address it, O Lord, and we say, let heads be lifted up in the name of Jesus. Amen. Lord, we ask that your word will come as waters to us this morning.
Amen.
And at the end of the day, your name will be glorified in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Wow. It's wonderful the way the Lord has started with us today, you know. As my brother was exhorting, I couldn't but notice the emphasis on joy. You see, he says that the sound of rejoicing can be heard where? In the tabernacle, in the tent of the righteous. And that is a factor of, as he said, a spiritual Christian. I would like to even fine-tune that and say, and a connected Christian. When you are connected to your source like that, there is always something. It says if you abide, what will happen? You will bear fruit. In other words, you will be productive.
Yes.
So once you are connected, there is always something to draw from him. Whether it be a song, a scripture, it may just be the Lord will push you to the right place sometimes. You just hear someone say something. Or you may just be listening to your radio and the song that comes on will just be something that speaks to the situation.
Yes.
The Lord is always looking to refresh the people.
Thank you.
He does not delight in any situation that puts us down.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise the name of the Lord.
Can I just put it?
Yes, ma'am.
I just wanted to say something that Daniel said that we should also take note of. He said, when people see you, when you are not moved by circumstances around you, they wonder whether you are normal.
Mm-hmm.
And they want to say here that we are actually normal.
Oh, yeah.
But we are not natural.
Hmm.
We are supernatural.
Hallelujah.
Oh, yeah. So when we continue to see ourselves in our supernatural estate and not drawing from this natural stream, we will always be above circumstances.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Please, can we echo what Auntie said again? We are supernatural, not what? Please, can we say that again?
We are supernatural.
We are supernatural, not natural. So your identity defines the source of every resource you get, right? Hallelujah. Amen. We'll be continuing with our meditation. Today will be short, and we'll just round it up. We'll be doing just a bit of explanation, just to round things up a bit. And by God's grace, we should be finishing early today. Praise the name of the Lord.
Amen.
So, just looking back at last week, I know, just to give a bit of a recap, we mentioned some things. The topic was built up by the word of his grace. We made it clear that the efficacy, the effect of the word comes into view when it is inspired by the Spirit of the Lord. And your building up is actually from a place of a carnal Christian, which we all come into the body as, and we move to a place of spirituality in practice. And that is what the Feast of Pentecost deals with. Praise the name of the Lord.
Amen.
So we also explain that the concept of spiritual food is revealed truth, and only such can benefit us. We made it clear that the work of spiritual truth creates a new reality, and it is on that basis we can renew our minds. It's on such basis we can draw strength from God and walk in a new reality. Praise the name of the Lord. We also brought into view the effects of access to spiritual food, which we spoke and we made reference to Isaiah 25 verse 6, and said that we will make a feast. That means the feast deals with, it says that upon this mountain shall the covering cast, which has been spread over the nations, be cast off. But before that, he began to speak about a feast. And we urge ourselves at the end of the day that we should continue what? We should continue Just eat.
Eating.
Just continue eating. And that condition, that thing that is that's become a constant in quotes in your life will be taken away.
Amen.
That is the provision for long-term deliverance. Rehearsal of the truth, mm-hmm. eating truth and practice of it. And before you know, that thing is lifted up. You see, in the Psalms, David makes a statement that's quite interesting. He says that the Lord has prepared a table before me. Where? In the presence of my enemy. You know, he did not give him sword, not give him spear, he did not give him AK-47. What did he do? Gave him food. So in the presence of your enemy, he prepares a feast.
Hallelujah.
So he says, just eat. Don't focus on them. They are like flies. They are like flies. They cannot. Uncle says something that if the devil could kill you, he would have killed you since. So he cannot threaten you with death. Say, the devil wants to kill me. Do you know since when the devil, before you were born, the devil wanted to kill you? Praise the name of the Lord. So just eat. Keep on eating. That is the provision, and food will not cease in this house in the name of Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Like I said, today will be pretty short. I'm actually just rounding up what we started last week. Like I said, I had a burden for explaining the concept of spiritual food from top to end. I would like us to look into the typifications of spiritual food. Typifications of spiritual food. Spiritual typification. Or
spiritual types.
Types. Just write types. Types of spiritual food. Praise the name of the Lord. So we'll be doing some writing today, and try as much as possible to just outline things. Let's open to Isaiah 55.
Yes, sir.
And we'll read it together.
55.
Oh. And if we're there, can we say amen?
Amen.
For there, can we say amen?
Amen.
Okay, that's a louder amen. That means everybody is there. Okay, we'll read from verse 1 to 2. 1, 2, go. Oh, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread? And your labor for that which satisfied not. Hearken diligently unto me, and let your soul be light in fatness. Praise the name of the Lord. So eat that which is good, and what will happen? Your soul will delight in fatness. So we have provisions to eat from, types. So we'll pick some things here. We'll outline certain things. The first thing that is mentioned is the waters. And secondly, there is wine, as you mentioned last week. Wines on leaves or aged wine. And there is the milk of the world. There is the bread. Sorry, am I too fast? Okay. So the waters, as you see, it says, come, everyone that thirsteth, come to the waters. Then it continues and say, buy wine, come buy wine. So wine is the second one.
So the first one is the waters.
Yes, sir. So milk, we'll explain going forward. We have bread as the fourth one.
As
the fourth one, bread. And lastly, we have the honey of the world, which is not written in the scripture. Now, this is just types. You know, there are different types of food, if you can say that. But we'll explain some other things going forward. Now, with regards to the waters, we'll take some scriptures just for study. We will not necessarily read through all of them. For the waters, we have John 4, verse 13 to 14. And Ephesians 5, verse 26. John 4, verse 13 to 14. And Ephesians 5, verse 26. 26. So these are just for study purposes. So the effect of the word, it has a refreshing ability. Especially as you drink it. There's a scripture in Proverbs I like a lot. It's in, I think, Proverbs 25, verse 25. It says, as waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. I like it, first of all, because it speaks of the gospel or the missionary mindset. As waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a distant country. That means when you come and you are dispersing the word of God to a foreign people, you are bringing life. The water has ability to refresh us. Like we heard this morning, what we saw today was a manifestation of that water, that refreshment, speaking to you and exhorting you of joy. It was not just coming to your ears, it was coming to your spirit and stirring up something inside. So that is one type of the word. The next one we should mention is the wine. Now, the wine you have in Isaiah 25, verse 6, it speaks of the wines on lees. The aged wine, that is what it is, aged wine. Fermented, it has a unique taste. It is not just... You know, when you buy cheap wine, you know. Sorry? Okay, so if I go into the details of that, it may not be too distinct. However, there's something about aged wine. There is a difference. That's why people can travel to France to go and have a taste of a different kind of wine. But what I want to point out is the aspect of the depth, the aged wine.
Maturing
wine. The wines of the world, it speaks of the deep things of God. The deep things of God. Deep mysteries of the kingdom. Matthew 13, verse 11, and 1 Corinthians 2, verse 6 to 10, I believe. The deep things and the mysteries of the kingdom. It says that a wisdom that has been hidden for ages, for our glory. Mark? 1 Corinthians 2, verse 10. And this wine has an intoxicating effect. You know, when you drink wine, and we are spiritually drunk, in Jesus' name,
amen,
we will not be carnally drunk in Jesus'
amen
name. Yeah. There is the way it changes the reality of the natural man. For you, it changes your reality. It's a depth of revelation that gives you a new reality. The depths, deep things, the mysteries of the kingdom. The third one is the milk. 1 Peter 2, verse 1 to 2. Hebrews 5, verse 13. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 1 to 3. 1 Peter 2, verse 1 to 2. I'll read the Hebrews one. Hebrews 5, verse 13, and 1 Corinthians 3, verse 1 two, three. Praise the name of the Lord.
Amen.
So the milk of the Lord speaks of the foundational doctrines of Christ, the truths, the foundational truths of the believer. It says, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Now the emphasis is on desire, not to stay on milk, which is something we will lay emphasis on going forward. The emphasis in that scripture is to desire the word. Praise the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the name of the Lord.
Amen.
And we have the bread of the word, and there are depths, there are types, different. Even in the natural, there is wheat bread, there is brown bread, there is different types of bread. Hallelujah. Sorry? Exactly. So, there are different types, different typifications of depths of bread. Some, you buy different qualities of bread in Lagos, and you know, there are some breads you buy and you, is it the toughness or the softness? It differs, right? So, bread, what does bread speak of quickly? Bread, like we said last week, is for spiritual strength and transformation. He said, bread that maketh the heart. It strengthens the heart. For spiritual strength and the provision for our transformation. That's the provision. It says that labor not for the bread that perisheth, but for that which genders unto eternal life. Sorry, is everybody following?
Yes.
Sorry?
Provisions for what?
Transformation.
No, you said I'm not there.
For strength, spiritual strength. And
provision of our transformation.
Our transformation or change. Praise the name of the Lord. So John 6, it's a long read, from verse 48 to 58. We can look that up later. And then Revelation 2, verse 17. Now, the one I mentioned last, which is the honey of the word, is quite interesting. It's something, it's quite very beautiful. Let me use that. I would like us to read Proverbs. Can we go to the book of Proverbs? And the reason we're outlining these types of the word is so you can see the diverse expressions and how the word comes to us. Praise the name of the Lord.
Amen.
So, Proverbs 24, verse 13. If someone can read that quickly.
My son, eat thou honey, because it is good, and the honeycomb which is sweet.
Verse 14.
So shall the knowledge of wisdom be unto thy soul.
Mm-hmm.
When thou hast found it, then there shall be a reward, and thy expectation shall not be cut out.
So eat thou honey, because it is what? It is good. So shall the knowledge of wisdom be to your soul. Can someone read the NLT version quickly?
My child, eat honey, for it is good, and the honeycomb is sweet to the taste. In the same way, wisdom is sweet to your soul. If you find it, you will have a bright future, and your hopes will not be cut short.
Yes. So you see, honey is likened to what?
Wisdom.
To wisdom. So, the effects of honey to a believer is death, spiritual wisdom. And the scripture says wisdom is profitable to direct. And as we grow, that is one aspect of spiritual growth, where we begin to discern between good and what? And evil. We begin to learn to discern between good and evil. Let's take another scripture quickly. 1 Samuel. Chapter 14, verse 27. Am I too fast, please? I had two responses. Okay. Okay.
Verse 27 says, but Jonathan heard not when his father charged the people with the oath. Wherefore, he put forth the end of the rod that was in his hand and dipped it in his honeycomb, and put his hand to his mouth, and his eyes were enlightened.
And his what was enlightened?
His
what was what?
His eyes.
His eyes were enlightened. So we see that if you know the particular story, they were in warfare, and Saul instructed that no man eats till the evening, and they were walking through the camps of the enemy, and the soldiers came across honey on the floor, and as they were walking, people who had the instructions didn't take the honey, they didn't touch it. But Jonathan did not happen to hear the instruction when Saul had given it. So he took honey by his sword. Right? Is that what he said?
No.
By the rod. Oh, he took it. How did he put it there?
With his rod.
With his rod, right? That's interesting. So he took it by his rod and he ate of it. And his eyes were enlightened. The scripture will say that he will give unto us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. That what will happen? The eyes of our understanding will shine. It will be enlightened. So instructive wisdom from the word of God. It says in a certain place that how from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which is able to make thee wise unto salvation. That means wisdom is important in the discussion of salvation. Because wisdom is directive. And as we grow, even if you see in the scripture, it said concerning Jesus that he did not just grow in stature, but he grew also in what? In wisdom. So that is an aspect of our spiritual growth. Spiritual wisdom, ability to discern between good and evil. Praise the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Now, this honey usually comes, as we see, it comes by sound doctrine. When we are exposed to sound doctrine, the word of God, the wisdom of the word of God, ability to discern between good and evil, grows. I think it's in Hebrews 5 verse 13 to 14 that speaks about those who have, by reason of practice, have their senses exercised to discern between good and what? Evil. Now, honey has an important effect, which I've already stated. I'll just give a scripture for that. Isaiah 7, verse 15. If someone can read that. Isaiah 7, verse 15. Carry on. So butter and honey shall he do what?
Eat.
That he may know to choose, he may know to differentiate between good and evil. So the more we are exposed to the honey of the word, it comes as it gives us the ability. We are living in a time where discernment is very important as a believer. All manner of things are happening in the name of Christianity. People manifesting things, and it's usually in the form of manifestation. For those who like spiritism and spiritism, spirit. That is why it is important to be built up, like we're saying, in the world. That is why when we begin to be exposed to sound doctrine, we can differentiate what is of God. Because you know, the Christian walk is a spiritual walk, but it's not the only spiritual walk happening. Do you know people grow in the spirit in other things? You can attain stature in Hinduism. Are we aware of this?
Yes.
I was listening to a man of God who said something. He said that it takes 21 years to become a skillful witch. I said, what kind of detail is that? People grow, and it is not just, like I said, Christianity is not just the only spiritual work. So when you go to a place and you see people doing all manner of things, when we are growing, by reason of sound doctrine, we are able to discern that which is of God and that which is not of God. It is usually in the area of manifestations. It is usually in that area, which we see a lot of things going on in the church today. People go to church sometimes to just so someone can lay hands on them so that they can be slain, then come again the next week. If you fall, you will stand up. It does not guarantee growth. It's true now. That's how people take advantage of the anointing, take advantage of principles, in quotes, and you sell yourself as something because people are falling. Praise the name of the Lord.
Amen.
May the Lord give us grace to be built
Amen.
In the world. Another thing to even see is prophecy. When we began to grow in discernment, we begin to be a people of doctrine. Now, my attention was drawn towards this. As a body, we are growing. The Bible says you should despise not prophecy. Don't quench the spirit. Don't quench it. But as we begin to mature, we begin to know how to check in our spirit, how to align with scriptures. We don't have to have a meeting where six people prophesy. The Bible says maximum three. And the rest can come even as witnesses, written witnesses after the meeting. And it will still bless the house. It will confirm what has already said. And you go today, there are many different things happening in the form of prophecy. People will stand and say, what I'm seeing, you know what they do in the church? All manner of manipulations in the name of prophecy. Prophecy basically means to speak as an oracle for God. You can be manifesting the word of knowledge, but not speaking the mind of God. You may have access to somebody's bank account, but you are not speaking the mind of God. So honey instructs us in maturity, wisdom, sound doctrine. It makes us to be wise according to the dictates of scripture. In fact, you can even discern prophecy. A man of God I was listening to gave a story that was just too hilarious. He said someone came to their church and the woman began to prophesy. She raised up her head and said, I am the Lord, I am the Lord. Fear not. I know you are afraid. Even me sometimes, I am afraid too. Everybody stop. What is this? Stop that woman too. Sit down. You see something now. In an ordinary setting where there is no knowledge of who God is, they would take that someone prophesied, someone stood up, and he gave the word. See, he encouraged us that God is afraid sometimes. But he says, have you not heard? Have you not known that the Lord God Almighty, the everlasting Father, the creator of the heaven and the earth, fainted not. He does not have ability to. Neither is he weary. That's what he said. Neither is he what? Weary. So they had to sit her down. So as we grow in the world, as we grow in wisdom, we are able to judge between things like the manifestations. Things, when you see people prophesying, you are able to check, not just in your spirit, but based on the evidence of scripture. That how does this align? You see, discernment is on two parts. There is discernment, which is the gift of the spirit, which is a very beautiful gift. And there is discernment based on growth in sound doctrine, in scriptures, which every believer is expected to experience. Praise the name of the Lord. We are moving at a very decent pace today, and from the look of things, we'll be running up quick. So the next thing I want to look at, so we have five things we mentioned, right? Can we read it out again? Amen. Glory be to God. So, the Lord feeds us according to our readiness and exposure. He does not force feed. Remember, we're talking about spiritual food. The way the Lord gives us food, He does not force. He gives. The Bible says He gives meat in what?
Due
season. He does not force feed you. It is only in Nigeria that you see an 8-month-old child dragging a bar with somebody. But the Lord does not. He feeds according to your need, according to your readiness, and according to the exposure. When you're in a place like this, you see the Lord begins to bring diverse, He brings truths. And based on your readiness, He gives you. And the Lord, someone may be speaking in front, but different people are hearing different things. The Lord is ministering on diverse levels to everybody. So the Lord is the shepherd. He's the one that feeds, regardless of the individual standing to minister. Praise the name of the Lord. So sometimes He introduces us to new food with an experience. Sometimes a dealing, and sometimes a question in our heart. I'll read that again. I'm just reading some things that I wrote here. Sometimes it introduces us to a new level of food or experience with Him. With an experience, a dealing, or a question in our heart. One way the Lord uses to draw us to the next level, to a new kind of feeding, sometimes may come as one experience. It may not really be an adverse experience, but it may just be something new. And the Lord wants to teach you an aspect of Himself, or a dealing, or a question. Sometimes you just have a question, and all of a sudden, someone says something and light begins to open on that. Now, with regards to spiritual growth, there are two fundamental categories of the word. There are two fundamental categories, and I want to explain as Lord gives grace. There are two fundamental categories. If we can open to Hebrews 5. Verse 12 to 14. If someone can read that gently.
Hebrews 5, 12 to 14. For the time we ought to be teachers, we have been moved that one teach you again to the first principles of the oracles of God, and have become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for it is a baby. But strong meat belongs to them that are full of it. Even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern between good and evil.
Praise the name of the Lord.
Amen.
So verse 12 begins to outline one sign of spiritual growth, which is that when we grow to a certain estate, we should be able to bless or be a source of food to another person, if I can use that word. It says that the time when he ought to be teachers. Now, it's not necessarily speaking of the office of a teacher or anything like that, or ability to teach, to explain the word to your fellow brethren, or to someone who is in need of it, is one sign that you are maturing. It says, You have need that one teach you again the first principles of the oracle of God, and are now become as such who have need of meat and not strong meat. So we have two categories of food. And it begins to explain, for one that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. So the one who uses milk is a what?
A
babe, spiritually speaking, a babe. But strong meat belongeth to those, or to them that are full of age or mature. You can also add or maturing. Even those who by reason of use or practice have had their senses exercised to discern between good and evil. So we have two categories of food according to your level in God. Like I said, the Lord will only feed you what is needful for you. Now I want to draw our attention to something in this scripture. King James uses strong meat. Now, I've seen people make a doctrine out of that. From the translation here, it simply means solid food. It simply means what? So we have two categories of the word of God. We have what?
The milk,
and what?
The solid food.
Praise the name of the Lord.
Amen.
So we have milk and solid food. Now we'll explain how this, what this meat really is, and what solid food is. Like he says here, he says milk belongs to babes. Now it's important to understand how the milk of the word operates in a believer's life. Now milk is very needful. It is expedient. You don't stop. You can drink milk, but you don't live on that for the rest of your life. So milk is foundational, right? So it is needful. In fact, we refer from time to time to milk. It is needful from time to time to drink milk here and there. And sometimes it just comes that you need to be, to expose yourself to those truths you heard back. Just to reignite or put yourself in remembrance of those truths that once established you. I'd like us to turn to First Corinthians 3 verse 1. So we can lay a difference. First give a definition to strong, to milk, and we'll start to look towards the difference between strong meat and milk. Remember we said at the beginning that the work of spiritual food is to mature you from a place of carnality to spirituality. Praise the name of the Lord.
Amen.
So can someone read 1 Corinthians 3? Verse 1 to 3.
And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able. For ye are yet carnal. For us there is among you envy and strife and division. Are you not carnal and walk as men?
Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. So you see that he describes the church, the Corinthian church, as babes and having need of milk. And you also see that he describes them as being what? Carnal. Now a believer can, we all come from that estate. That is the reality. We all come into the body and we start as spiritual babes. But we are meant to move from that realm of carnality or a carnal approach towards life to a spiritual realm. You find it interesting that he said that he could only feed them with milk. Now, the nature of the child, like we mentioned last week, is one that is very self-indulgent. It's, as you stated, a canal, but also it does not have the ability to take responsibilities for things pertaining to the kingdom. It cannot be called a son. I don't know if that is that clear.
Yeah.
The nature of the child is that he cannot partake, he cannot bear the burden. You know, when in farms, in Western farms, you notice that a cow gives birth to a young calf. Well, that calf does not stay like that. As it grows, it feeds on milk. At a certain point, a burden, they start to place yokes on it so that it can move around with the farm. So responsibility is coming upon him, little by what? By little. And as he grows, as he begins to get fatter, the yoke becomes what? It becomes what? Bigger. So we always start in that level of what? Milk. The milk of the world. And the more we feed, the more we are enlarged. And the Lord begins to graduate us to the next level. I gave a definition just to caption what milk is. Milk is needful and fundamental. Milk is needful and fundamental. However, milk is foundational and does not have the capacity to make you spiritual. Can we say that again? It does not have the capacity to make you spiritual. So it is a fundamental level of God's dealings with us, how he teaches us. Hebrews 5 verse 12 and 6 verse 1 makes it clear or outlines the milk of the word as the first principles of the doctrines of Christ. We don't want to go into that today, but I advise us to look into it. It speaks about faith towards God. Speaks about repentance from dead works. Letting go of any dead work that does not exalt the work of grace. Speaks about the laying on of hands, eternal judgment, the resurrection from the dead. Praise the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the name of the Lord.
Amen.
So we will give a definition for solid food according to scriptures. Now, if milk does not have the capacity to make you spiritual, what will solid food do? It will do what? It will make you spiritual. So it has the capacity. It has the capacity. Now, if you look in this 1 Corinthians 3, you see one very interesting trait. The Corinthians church were a blessed church. They had the gifts in operation. But they were still described as what? Canal and babes. So they had the gifts in operation. Now, you don't disregard the gifts, but gifts alone, underline alone, does not make you a spiritual believer. It is growth in sound doctrine, in the truth as we established last week, that makes you what? A sound believer. Praise the name of the Lord. You will see something which is an evidence. Yeah, I will just read that. And I want us to please follow along. I read verse 3. It says, "For ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is amongst you envying, strife, divisions, and ye are ye not carnal, and walk as natural men. So you see that one of the traits of a carnal believer or a natural man, as you can see, may be bearing all manner of, or manifesting all manner of things, but the nature, the fruits of Christ are not being worked out in you. So it brings to view one of the effects of solid food in your life. It places a demand on you to be what? To be mature, to be spiritual. The Lord begins to make certain demands of us as we move in Him. He begins to say, drop this one. Let go of this thing. Stop doing things this way. Start to follow me this pattern. He will say, don't wake up 5 o'clock again. Wake up 4 o'clock. Let's meet at 4 o'clock. Just demand. Drop this habit. Praise the name of the Lord. So we see that one of the evidences of spiritual growth is maturing in the fruits, in nature, the character of Christ being worked out, not gifts alone. Praise the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the name of the Lord.
Amen.
We're doing a lot of explaining today. So let's go back to Hebrews, Hebrews 6. Praise the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. So Hebrews 6. Hebrews 6 verse 1. Now we'll just read and I want us to follow together. In fact, let's read that verse 1 together. Are we there?
Yes.
Let's read for Busola. She's okay. Amen. So Hebrews 6 verse 1, can we go? Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of the practice of dead ones and of faith towards God, and the resurrection of dead and eternal judgment. So it says, let us go on to what?
Perfection.
Now, the word perfection is better put maturity. Because sometimes there is an ambiguity concerning that word. It is not clear sometimes. We're speaking of spiritual maturity. Can we say that together? So, perfection in this sense speaks of moving on.
To full age.
The Lord established the first doctrines, but He sent His Spirit, which is to usher us into better things. He says that the Spirit, when he's come, I have things to tell you now that you cannot necessarily bear. But when the Spirit is come, He will guide you into what? All truth. He will receive of me and give to you. So there were better things to speak of. In fact, He spoke to the disciples as natural men. They were not sons. So he could only speak on a certain what?
Amen.
A certain level. Praise the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Are we following so far? If we are following, can we say amen?
Amen.
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 So, we see that there is need to move on. The Lord does not keep us at a particular phase. Now, with regards to maturity, I would like us to turn to 1 Corinthians 3. Now, Paul in verse 31 of chapter 12 makes a statement. He says, covet earnestly the best gifts. However, I show unto you a more excellent way. He was speaking to the same Corinthian church, trying to mature them, trying to bring them to a higher walk with Christ, telling them that it was not just about the manifestation, which is good. But there is a more excellent way. Then he begins to speak about what? Love. He begins to speak about what?
Love.
I will read verse 9 and 10. Or verse 10 and 11, rather. And I want us to follow real quick. It says, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away with. Let's read verse 11 together. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. So Paul begins to make a case for maturity. And what he brings to mind, what he begins to explain, that in the church, the scripture says that wisdom builds a house, but understanding what? Establishes it. So he begins to call us to a place of understanding as men, that it is not just what we do, but how we relate as an organism, a church. Maturing as an organism. Maturing as one. Now, the message of love is on two parts. The first is towards God. It is towards God. That is what the work of strong meat begins to do, or solid food begins to do for you. And secondly, of course, the love towards men and your brethren. Now, if you understand how agape love works according to scriptures, for you to love God, it will place a demand on your flesh. For the love of Christ to be manifested and worked out in you, because you are learning to love a spiritual God. He says that we should not love in works, or in thoughts alone, or in words, but in deeds. So he begins to bring to you new things, new demands. Say, if you love me, do my commandments. One solid truth every believer begins to mature in, especially towards God, is that we begin to grow in Him. In loving Him, when you begin to love Him and His ways, the nature of the flesh is laid, a demand is laid on it. Is that clear?
Yes.
The Lord begins to, as you draw closer to God, He says, let us run the race that is set before us, or let us put aside every what? Weight. And sin that easily besets us. So the Lord begins to lay a demand on you. He begins to ask, drop this one, drop. So we begin to see two levels. We are diminishing in carnality and what? Increasing in spirituality.
Hallelujah. Glory.
Praise the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So we see spiritual growth. We see in a certain place, it says that in the time of David, that there was a great war between the house of Saul and the house of David. Two symbolic houses. The house of the flesh and the house of the spirit man. And the house of David grew stronger and it overcame.
Hallelujah.
Praise the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Your house, in your spirit man will overcome the flesh.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
As you begin to grow, you begin to see that we are becoming more spiritual in mindset, in approach towards life. You know, we use the tabernacle to outline certain things. How the light of the outer court directs our walkings from the outer court. How the sun directs us while we are in the outer court. And as we move on, the Lord begins to lay a demand on us by instructing us in our spirit. You begin to hear inner voice. You begin to learn the ways of the spirit. You see, the scripture says something. It says that For he that is born of the Spirit, how do you put it in John 3? It says that the Spirit listeth where it wills, or it blows where it wills. You hear the sound thereof one. You cannot tell where it is coming from. And you do not tell where it's going. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. But my emphasis, my attention is drawn towards the fact that it is you that does not understand where it is coming from or where it is going. That means we have to learn the ways of the Spirit. And the more we begin to grow and we are built up in sound doctrine, in the Word, we see that the voice of the Lord becomes clearer. We see that the Lord begins to have greater ease instructing and directing us in our lives. Praise the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So we're still in 1 Corinthians 3. 13 rather. So, one strong meat or solid food as we begin to mature in Christ that every believer is exposed to is the message of the cross.
Hallelujah. All right.
One solid food, as you begin to learn to love God more, it will start to place a demand on you. The message of the cross, that is a divide, a great divide. You see, usually in the Christian faith, between a carnal believer and one who is pressing on in God. It's not a popular message out there. You know, people want to hear things that reinforce the fundamental things. You want to go for 15 years, you want to be told that the Lord loves you. It's true. It is very, very true. Now, the thing with taking up the cross and following Him is that it gives you a responsibility and it makes you a son in practice while on earth. It makes a demand upon you. So you can take up that cross, you can take it up upon your shoulder. As you grow spiritually, you begin to see that you are learning to take things back into the kingdom. You are beginning to align with the will of the kingdom. Praise the name of the Lord. It says in Luke 9 verse 23, can someone read that quickly, but we will not, so we don't deviate.
Verse
23.
Luke
9,
23.
Yeah.
And he says to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me.
Let him deny him what?
Himself.
And take up his cross daily and follow me. Now, this, like I said, it's a great divide for one who is maturing in God. You can decide to live for yourself, which is an estate of a bit, no responsibility. But as we mature in Christ, you begin to see a demand. The Lord begins to create a demand of consecration first upon you, which is always the first point. It begins to demand higher things. Then it begins to put responsibilities upon your shoulder. It says that he will deny himself of certain pleasures for my sake. There's a place in Lamentations that says it is good that a youth should bear the yoke or his yoke. To bear his yoke in his youthful state. It is good for him to bear that yoke. Lamentations 3, in his youthful state. So as we mature in Christ, you see that one thing solid food does, it begins to give you responsibility to let go of things and lay hold on the mandates of the kingdom. If not, you cannot walk as a son on earth. So we have two definitions. First of all, we said milk. Is what? Can we read what we have on our book? Mm-hmm. Can we read that again?
Mm-hmm.
It does not have the capacity to mature you long term, to make you spiritual, to bear the yokes of Christ. Now, strong meat on the other side is quite interesting. I'll just read what I have here. It says, strong meat brings us into the realm of obedience and alliance with
Hallelujah.
The will of God.
Amen.
Strong meat brings us into the realm of obedience and alliance with the will of God. Solid food. When the Lord begins to place certain things and demands on you, you begin to see that you are exposed to a new realm. You just find out, for whatever reason, whenever you turn that station on to watch that program, something jerks inside of you. A red light. Lord is saying, put away this thing. It is time to... You know, with every come up either, there is always something you must drop. With every come up leader, when the Lord says, come up, there is always, we say, let go. He says, arise, shake yourself from us, the dust. So when he calls you to arise, you must do what? You must shake yourself. It is like that. Spiritual growth always happens in that pattern. So there is a call to come up higher in things pertaining to God. Praise the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Solid meat also brings you, or solid food also brings you into the realm of understanding His will and prioritizing His will. I remember that's connecting to the first statement, the demands placed on you. Does anyone know this program, Big Bang Theory?
Mm-hmm.
Very popular on TV, cable network. Mm-hmm. When I came to Canada, I used to like it. Just, they're very sincere hearts. I mean, it's funny, right? Just, and I remember turning on the TV one day. First of all, the concept and the storyline is not pure. If anyone knows what the program is, it's not pure. But in my own pureness of, you see a geek, you see, they say funny things that time. That was in 2014. With a sincere heart, the Lord began to make a demand on that. Just trying to give an example, practically, of how the Lord makes demands on things as we grow. In him. Sometimes it may be an eating pattern. Or maybe you are the type that you stay up late to watch YouTube videos. It begins to make demands on all those things, little by little. It begins to introduce you to certain levels of working and operation within. When we begin to come into the dealings of God, then we begin to mature spiritually. I don't know if I'm making sense.
Yes, yeah.
Praise the name of the Lord.
Amen.
The dealings of God. And it begins to lay a demand. So, I said lastly that solid food brings you into the realm of understanding and prioritizing or priority of His will. And lastly, I mentioned the dealings of God. Solid food also brings you into the dealings of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Now, I'd like us to look at an example. A story is the Lord uses to typify the difference in doctrines in Matthew 19. Matthew Matthew 19 from verse 21. Praise the name of the Lord. Now read the story. It's a popular story, the story of the rich man. And we'll see that two forms of messages are typified in this same scripture. Remember, this is spoken under the law. The Bible says that Christ was born under the law to redeem those that were under the law. So he begins to explain, or I'll read the story, and it says from verse from verse 16, and behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may inherit spiritual life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. So we see a level of demand is placed on what? On him. And he said unto him, Which? Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man said unto him, All these I have kept from my youth up till now. What lack I yet? And Jesus said unto him, If thou wilt be made perfect, go and sell that which thou hast, and give to the poor. And thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come and do what? Come and do what?
Follow me.
So we see two dividing demands placed on the rich man. The first is normal. It is foundational. It says, if you want to have life, honor your father and your mother. Love thy neighbor as yourself. Now, this is a type because it's under the law. Honor your father and mother, and you will have eternal life. But the guy demanded for more, a different level of working with him. And the Lord demanded something. He says, if thou will be made what? If thou will be made what?
Perfect.
Another word for that is also mature. Complete. If you check the Greek word, full age. A demand was placed on him to let go. We see two divides of the average and what? The spiritual. The perfect, the mature. He says, go and sell your goods, or no, go and honor your father and mother. But he says, I want more. Then he gave him the demand. What was the demand? Verse 21 says, if thou will be perfect, if thou will be mature, go and sell all that thou hast, and give to the poor, that thou mayest have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. He was preaching the cross to him. Come and follow me. Give up things and come and follow me. You know, Peter made a statement that catches me every time I read it. I think it's in this same scripture. It says, Lord, we have left all to follow you. It's a powerful statement. The message of the cross is typified. It is summarized in that statement. You know, we have left all. We have left all to follow. We see two things. The demand of followership, the cross. If a man loves me, let him deny himself and take up his cross. Then, and follow. What does it even mean to follow? By scriptural reference now. In practice, can someone give an idea or just throw light on what it means to follow Jesus? Daniel.
To do what he did.
To do what he did. And what did he do? He laid down. He laid down his life. To do what he did. Can everybody echo what he said? To do
what he did.
To do what he did. You know, the pattern for sonship is quite different from the general demand. Spiritual growth places a demand on your flesh. That is a reality, is a message people will not preach about. But one thing I tell you in this time, the message of the cross will be sounded from nations to nations. That truth, that message. You know, it is the only provision for which the flesh is dealt with.
Yes.
So the devil has bombarded us with all manner of things.
All manner of distraction.
Someone is preaching law of attraction in church. Jesus. Giving people physics to eat. There's a scripture for that. Vomit. Preaching law of attraction. Like we said last time, the only thing you as a believer can respond to is spiritual truth. You cannot grow outside that. So when you hide the cross from a believer, you are denying him of spirituality. Remember, the cross places a demand on you. And it is not by your own strength you will achieve that.
At all.
Because he said, Peter asked the question in this same scripture, he says, Lord, who can enter the kingdom? Then the Lord said, with God.
All things are possible.
Said, with men, there is difficulty, but with God, all things are possible. He begins to exalt grace. You know, you cannot teach the message of the cross or teach the message of grace without opening the demands of the cross. Grace is made available because of the cross.
Yes.
The message of grace, because it says that the grace of the Lord which brought salvation unto men, that's appeared. To what? To teach. So grace is not just salvation alone. It is to pick man out of carnality.
Amen.
And take him to a place. He will teach him to love righteousness. The teacher. He teaches us to deny ungodliness, worldly lusts, and instructs us to walk in righteousness, sobriety, and godliness. To follow God also is to get to know him. As you begin to get to know him, the scripture says that then shall we follow on. To do what? To know. Strong meat, solid food brings you into the realm of true knowledge of God. Where the Lord begins to take you, he teaches you on his word and he begins to exercise you with experience. That you can be going through something and the Lord brings out your note. Don't run through this one. Don't complain. What are you learning about me this time? We are writing down. There are certain things you will know by revelation, and there are others you will know by what?
By experience.
By experience. The God we serve is a real God. He's not theoretical. He's tangible. There are things I can tell you about God based on revelation this, but I can tell you the one I have experienced, and it's small. One I know about God, based on small experience, is that he does not rush. See what is going on around you. Tell us, see. Come see your people, see your mates. What is going on? God does not do nothing like that. He does not rush. He's constant. He's not weary.
Hallelujah. Glory.
Things are happening, but he's just there.
Thank you, my Father.
So it brings us to, he says, to follow on to know him. That is one thing. One thing the cross does. The Lord will bring back that message to his church. You see, it is a very solemn message. When people talk about it, it is a rather interesting atmosphere. But it is the truth. It is the provision for your deliverance.
That is it.
It is the provision. That is what the Lord gave as a pattern. That as you go down, you will rise.
In the mighty name of Jesus.
As you go down, you continue to rise. As you let go, you come up.
All right.
Thank you, Father.
That is the pattern of the cross. Say, I will embrace the cross.
I will embrace the cross.
Say, I will embrace the cross.
I will embrace the cross.
Not by my own power.
Not by my own power.
Or my own mind.
Or my own mind.
I will embrace the cross.
I will embrace the cross.
For His grace is sufficient for me.
His grace is sufficient for me.
For He said, not by power or by mind, but by my Spirit. The work of the Holy Spirit effects mortal or mortification of the flesh.
Yes.
Everything that speaks of a carnal nature is false. He says that the Spirit lusteth against the flesh, and the flesh against the Spirit. So as we begin to grow in doctrine, we begin to grow our approach, the Lord begins to place a demand. He says, come and know me more. Put away this thing. Talk less. He begins to place a demand on you. Here and there. That is one solid food for the believer. That is one solid food. Every believer. Especially for those who walk this path. It is actually the core message of what you call this way. Death to self. It brings us into a place of growing love for God. He will say that as you love me, let go. So the proof is not just in words alone, but in deeds. My grace is available, but love thou me more than this. Well, yeah, let's go. I've given you grace. Let it go.
Glory.
That is the summary of the cross.
Hallelujah.
That as we say that I am crucified, I die daily. It is not always when you think about it in real concept, sometimes it could be scary or it's not always pleasant in the mind. But when the Lord brings you, there's what's called a threshing ground. He brings you there and he begins to work out something. He begins to make some demands that are foreign. This is a truth to be preached.
In the mighty name of Jesus.
We will not preach ordinary God nonsense.
Physics.
The kingdom of God deals with spiritual men.
Yes.
It has nothing to do with the flesh. And as the Lord begins to exalt us, as the Lord begins to cause us to grow in what we eat, we begin to be gendered, to be transferred to a realm of carnality, to a spiritual approach, a spiritual understanding of men, a spiritual dealing with God. A real experience with God, where God becomes real.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Oh, thank you, my Father.
We serve a real God. There's nothing theoretical about it. Let's go back to scriptures. Thank you, Lord. He says in this place that go and sell your riches that you may have what? Treasures. In heaven. What does it mean to have treasures in heaven? I'm going to throw that out there for you. What does it mean? I mean, we have a doctrine that tells you also that you should, that there's a house being built for you in heaven. Maybe that connects to it, right? We want to go to heaven and rent houses out. You understand? What does anyone have an idea? Yeah, okay. To you know, this scripture, treasures in heaven. Yes, ma'am.
Treasure in heaven is actually immortality. Because it is what all of creation craves for. Men are looking for immortality. Even in the heavens, that is the contention between the enemy and the Lord. He wants to get immortality, which is the exclusive desire of the Father. But he that sells all here on earth will inherit that. The treasure of heaven is immortality. To sit on the throne, and he told them eventually at the end of that part. shall give up all in the regeneration. They will sit upon the 12th throne of Israel, judging the 12 tribes. And the people that sit on the throne, they are gods.
That's right. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord.
Amen.
So our inheritance, our, as Auntie said, the treasure in heaven speaks of inheriting the nature of God. And for you to assess that, then it says that he who loves his life will lose it. Who hates it for our sake will gain it. So you are inheriting something, a treasure. Another thing the treasure also symbolizes, you know, you have to read the Gospels with an eye of the epistles. Now, in Matthew 6, verse 21, the Lord makes a statement that do not lay up treasure in earth where moths and things can corrupt. But lay up treasures where? Lay up treasures where? In heaven. That means he was echoing a statement which Paul, some years later, will come and say, fix your affections, for where your treasure is, there will what? Your heart be. So you lay your treasure up in heaven. Where that treasure is, your heart will also be there. In other words, fix your affections on only things. Begin to carry my body. Begin to have the burden of my kingdom in your heart. Fix your affections. And like Auntie says, when that begins to happen, you are prioritizing the will of God so that you can acquire his nature. Those who do that are sons. And those are such. Such is the Lord raging in this time. Kingdom men. Men who are practicing the way of the kingdom.
Oh, Jesus.
I am one of them. I am one of the kingdom. Are you one of the kingdom?
Yes.
I am one of the kingdom.
I am one of the kingdom.
Just look away. Just look and everything. I am one of the kingdom.
Hallelujah.
A son in the mold of Jesus. You see, this thing called the path of the cross, it is him that gives you grace.
That's it. It's all of his grace.
It is all of his grace. And as you begin to grow, the Lord will begin to lay demands. Like he did of this man, two types of messages were given to him. You can either do that one, or if you want to come into a higher experience, you can go and sell. Let go. And that is two divides of the kind of messages at every level we have in Christ.
Amen.
The milk and solid food. One has ability to make you what? Or does not have ability to make you spiritual. The other one has ability to what? To make you spiritual. Bless the name of the Lord.
Amen.
So we are growing in him. Is that established, the difference? Praise the name of the Lord. I'm trying as much as possible to stick to explanation, but the Lord has his ways. So let's take down some traits of a growing spiritual believer. And please, the reason why I'm applying and making this in explanation form is so we can go back and look at them and the Lord shares better light on it. The first trait which we mentioned is ability to discern between good and evil. And I'm just picking things which we already stated in past scriptures. Ma? Ability to discern between good and evil. We already have scriptures for that. That's in Hebrews. The second thing is the bearing of the fruits, not just gifts. The bearing of the fruits, the character and the nature of Christ. Because we see that the Corinthian church had the Bible says they did not come short in gifts. But they were lacking in the character and the fruits of God. Praise the name of the Lord.
Amen.
The third one is absolute dependence on God. It is something we learn as we move with Him. It takes huge level of trust. Trusting Him for everything, trusting Him to that He knows better, and depending on His own will. And lastly, like we pointed to, is a heavenly affection or priority of the kingdom. So four things we mentioned. Traits of a spiritual man or growing spiritual man. There may be more as the Lord asks and you go home and the Lord expands on that. But with regards to what we have mentioned, if you can see certain traits coming up in your life, an appetite for heavenly, for spiritual things, absolute dependence, learning to depend on God, character being formed in you, your ability to forgive, your ability to do certain things just becomes better, an ability to discern between good and evil, then you see the Lord working out things in you. I'm tempted to move to what... Did everyone take that down?
What's the fourth one?
The fourth one, I read four things. So, ability to discern between good and evil, character, not just gifts, absolute dependence on God, and a heavenly affection or priority of the kingdom. I'm tempted to go towards... Because we're dealing, like we started, we're dealing with the articles pertaining to the holy place. We're talking about Pentecost. But I'm just going to stop here. And I'd like us to, as we grow, like I said, the Lord begins to demand things of us. We all have dealings. We all have things we're going through. We started on a note of joy. But while the Lord matures us or gives us some level of... pleasantness, if I can use that word. Even in our joy, the Lord is still working out His nature in us. We all know the diverse things the Lord demands or is demanding at this point in life. And spiritual growth, you cannot speak about spiritual growth without the cross. You cannot speak about it. You want to say something?
Yes. I want to make a short addition to what you said.
Okay.
We spoke about treasures in heaven, which was what the Lord said when He was speaking to the rich young ruler in verse 21. He said, if thou would be made mature, like He said, go sell what thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. In scripture also, you know, heaven many times speaks of your spirit man.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the scripture says that we look towards God for a body from heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that our transformation will come from our spirit man. Scripture says we have this treasure in every person.
Mm-hmm.
A treasure which is the Holy Spirit inside of us, inside this creature. But then, the Holy Spirit in Himself, 2 Corinthians 4 says, God commanded light to shine out of darkness to shine in our heart to give the light of knowledge of glory of God in the face of Jesus. And that light is a treasure inside of us. Now, you can invest in eternal life. Eternal life grows. The Holy Spirit inside of you can be cultivated. It grows. And one way we make investments or lay up treasure in the heaven is by, number one, the Word. And also by prayer. That's very important. You can sow in the flesh, and scripture says if you sow in the flesh, you will reap corruption or you will reap death. Sowing in the flesh is as simple as the time that you're supposed to be using to be praying and studying the word, you're taking it and just putting it into things that do not benefit you spiritually, like maybe sleeping or watching TV or eating, simple things like that. But you take time to actually sow into life, sowing into that treasure, laying up treasure by those times that you used to have to do all those things you used to do before, rather channel it to activities that will benefit you spiritually. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. So in a nutshell, laying up treasure in heaven is to sow in righteousness, right?
Yeah.
So it's to sow in righteousness. Like I said, today is meant to be short. I would like us to, and can you get on the keyboard, please? I would like us to, this is a rather different ending from last week, but it is needful. No, spiritual growth calls us into a higher walk with God. We know the diverse things we're going through and the things the Lord is demanding. The Lord is asking to let go of certain things. I myself have my own things. When the Lord starts to place a demand on you, that come, do things a different way. It may be something you have held strongly to. Let go of this. Let go of it. Ask the Lord for grace. That the Lord will begin to take us into deeper experiences of Him. For grace to walk and grow with Him, to mature. Be affectionate towards the things of the Spirit, an appetite for even higher things in Him.